You hit play, Banning. Our 0 to 3, we do have nursery for our 0 to 3, but we're going to be in the service with our kids today. Amen.
Let's give our attention to the screen.
This is Pentecost. Everything is different. Everything is new. Everything. This is the birth of the church. The wind swirls, a hurricane blows, the stale air is forced out, the dust disappears in an instant. The air is fresh, the light is all around, the Holy Spirit enters our lives and we become a new creation. It turns us around, turns our lives upside down, blows away the stale and the old. Christ enters our lives and we are made new. We are made whole. This is the birth of the church. We are gathered here in this place, in this time, to be something new, to refresh the old, to reboot the past, to be the church God created us to be the new creation. This is the Pentecost. God is here. Christ is here. The Spirit is here, and we are part of it. We are the new creation.
Anybody ready for new? Amen. Well, as I've mentioned a couple of times already, we do have a very special guest speaker. It has really been good getting to know Jeff and to have him a part of a few of our services in the past. Very excellent at spoken word, but he's going to preach the word of God here. He is a lead pastor of Adonai Presbyterian Church, which is a Korean church, but he is the lead pastor of the English-speaking part of that church. And so we are so delighted to have him here, and that's located in the Northwest Chicagoland area. And, of course, his team, Move for God, is also already performed for us and ministered so powerfully to us. And I don't know why I want to use the word prolific. I'm not even sure what the word prolific means, so I got to look that up before I go. But just a powerful dance ministry, and so just having him a part of this church family, we so greatly appreciate not just him, but his entire family that's even a part of CLC. So can you guys just join me in welcoming Pastor Jeff Abira today?
Amen, amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Before we dive into the message, I just wanted to do something special on this Pentecost Sunday. And just so we could get the blood moving again. Okay, don't worry, we ain't gonna do that right now, okay? But, I wanted to recognize your pastors, all of your pastors, actually, but especially Pastor Shauna and Pastor Doug. They've been such a huge vessel for hope, love, and leadership for so many people. So, if you have been blessed by your pastors, I want you to praise God and stand up for a moment and just honor God and thank God for these men and women of God. Amen. 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 All right, you may be seated. You know, they always say, you know, thank you for your yes, but that's our, you know, way of saying thank you as well for your yes. The Holy Spirit is truly working in them, around them, and through them. Now, before every message, I always have a few affirmations for those in Christ. So if you could just repeat after me real quick. Say it with power, with passion, conviction, all right? Please say, I am a child of God.
I am
loved by God.
And I am the light of the world.
Amen. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And we say that person of God all the time, right? We say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one God, right? The Trinity. You know, today is a celebration of Pentecost. This is the birthday of the church. Man, we about to sing some happy birthdays. You know, it's going to be amazing. You know, this is when the Holy Spirit came down. And the Holy Spirit was available to all after that. Now, I have a question for you. Was the first time the Holy Spirit introduced only at that time? No. Wow. Good job, guys. No. Actually, the Holy Spirit was introduced even before the Father and the Son.
If you look at Genesis 1, verse 2, which is the very first sentence of the Bible, what does it say? It says, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Then we also see right after that, that God breathes into Adam, into humanity, right? And we see that a spirit entered into him, and it brought life. Now, we're all, you know, body, soul, and spirit, right? We all have that. But the Holy Spirit is what activates life. Amen? The Holy Spirit was there at creation, and the Holy Spirit is the same reason that we are worshiping here today. And it's synonymous with the presence of God. The Spirit is what brings life to everything. You know, unfortunately, as we all know, our spirit died because of sin. But once again, the Holy Spirit's here to bring life and restore what was once lost. Other places we see that the Holy Spirit operating in the Old Testament, even. We see the Holy Spirit operating in Joseph when he interprets dreams. Real quick, I have an amazing testimony. One of my students, we were praying a lot here last night, and we were practicing, and right when she walked in, she was like, whoa, I've seen this sanctuary before. She actually had a dream a while back, and she saw this stage. Wow, that's the Holy Spirit moving, amen? Another part that we see the Spirit of God moving is when he empowered the prophets, speaking the fire of God out of their mouths. We also see the Holy Spirit operating. Well, last time we talked about the tabernacle when I was here. Who helped design the tabernacle? It was through the influence and creativity of the Holy Spirit. And then we see the Spirit of God go over Christ, right, when he's baptized at the Jordan River. And then later on, we see that through his death and resurrection, he's resurrected, and then he breathes onto the disciples. And they first receive the Holy Spirit. And then after that, everybody receives the Holy Spirit. And that is Pentecost. And that is what we celebrate today. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise God for that for a moment. Amen. That was a super fast explanation of the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, the message that I titled for today, you know, it's not very original, but man, it is powerful. The title of my message today is New. Everybody say new.
New.
Amen. Amen. We are new in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Background of our text for 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21. This is Paul again writing to the church in Corinth, explaining what actually happens to us after we make Christ our Lord and our Savior. Okay? Holy Spirit comes into us and we become a new creation. Everybody say new one more time.
New.
Amen. Here we go. Verse 16. So from now on, regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Amen. Can we pray again? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. God, we acknowledge your presence in this place. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that is moving, active, and living in so many of our lives. And I pray that today that there would be something new given to all of us, including myself, God, that you would speak to us mightily. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you at this time. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. New. There's something awesome about something new. When I was looking at the graduates' faces, man, they're about to step into a new thing in life, and it may be scary, it may take some courage, but man, at the end of the day, it's going to be an amazing thing. It's going to be an amazing thing. When I say the word new, what comes to your mind? What comes to your mind? I remember, you know, when I first got the phone that's in my pocket right now, right? I had such a bad phone before that, cracked, you know, just dropping all the time. And when I got that phone, I was like, man! It's new, right? I remember I'm a pretty cheap guy. I usually buy used stuff, and actually, like, all of my clothes are from my brother.
So it's very rare for me to get something new. And when my wife and I, we first purchased a laptop as a married couple, we bought the MacBook Air. Anybody got that? Wow. Let me tell you about our old laptop so you can appreciate the new laptop. Okay, we used to have a netbook type of thing where you would open it, you would tell it what to do, and just look right back at you and be like, not today, bro. So maybe tomorrow. Come back tomorrow, right? But this new laptop, even before I would click, the browser would open. And I was like, oh my goodness, faster than ever before. You know, as Christians, God's plan for us is to not to be better, but to actually be transformed. A total new creation. Totally new. And in 16 through 17, it says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. So again, when we make Jesus the Lord and Savior of our lives, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we became a new creation. In your notes, you're going to see a question. The question is this for today. Now, what happens to us when we become a new creation? And the first point is this, if you're taking notes. Our first point is very simple, and we already mentioned it throughout the beginning of the service. It's this, our point of view is lifted. Our point of view is lifted. We begin to have a heavenly perspective. It says we no longer have a worldly point of view, but rather one that is lifted. We no longer see even destructive people as destructive, but we actually begin to see people as just opportunities for grace and truth. We no longer see Christ as just a good man, but man, we see him as the Son of God. We see him as the Son of God. At my church, we had a family retreat not too long ago, and there's a young little girl named Eva, okay? Eva's around 12 years old, and to give you some background about her, her mother passed away last February. Okay, a lot of things going on in little Eva's life. And when we were talking about just encouragement and praying for people, guess who she wanted to encourage and pray for? You would think, you know, being 12-year-old, she would say, I want to encourage my brother. I want to write a letter of encouragement to my father, right? And I asked her, I said, Eva, who'd you write to? And you know what she said? She said, I wrote a letter to my bully. I wrote a letter to the boy who picks on me, who probably doesn't even know my mother passed away in February. And I was blown away, right? And I was looking at the maturity of this young lady's faith, this young girl, and I was thinking the only way that this is possible to write an encouragement letter to her enemy is because she is a new creation in Christ. You know what she said? She said, I want to encourage him because people really don't know what might be going on. She said this. She said, he might actually be hurting on the inside, and I want to encourage him. Maybe no one else is. The Bible says to love and pray for your enemies. I think many of us don't do that. And if we do, all we do is pray, but we don't actually love. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And I bet you anything, that little boy, this little boy is, right? But love covers a multitude of sins. And she reminded me of that, okay? And I bet you anything, because she loved, the bullying stopped. The bullying stopped. You know, when we're a new creation, our point of view is what? It is lifted. Verse 18 through 19, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is exactly what little Eva did. 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. So little Eva was just saying, I forgive you. Because Christ forgave me. Little Eva decided to use the blessing that she received to be a blessing to even her enemies. And that only comes from a perspective that is lifted. We don't see things as the world does, but from where God is. You know, we were that retreat, we were also in like a random forest in Lacon, Illinois.
You know, the type of place, no reception. It's just, you know, you and the trees and the pond. And we were just looking around, and I saw a caterpillar. I saw a caterpillar. And I was thinking about that. We can learn a lot from nature. God has designed nature in a beautiful way. You know, where do we see something become a new creation? In nature. We see it through the life of a caterpillar. A caterpillar spends a good portion of its life on the ground, right? But when it goes into the cocoon, something happens, transformation occurs, and then a new creation is formed. It's not just a better version of that little slow caterpillar. Man, it is totally new. It is totally new. The issue here is, though, that most people, you know, when we just pay attention to the end results. Many people, when you see a man of faith or a woman of God, right, we only look at their end result, but we don't realize that there was a process of sanctification to take them to a place where they can truly be courageous for God. In Romans 12:1, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a constant thing. We got to continually renew and renew and renew. So what happens to a caterpillar? Okay. I remember my daughter, she's almost 2 years old. She saw a caterpillar. She just looked at it, right? Just slow. It's just walking. Got bored of it right away, right? But when she saw a butterfly, man, it was a whole different story. It was fast. She saw it one moment, it flew away. She couldn't look like, you know, really fast track it. So she thought it disappeared. And she just looked at me, Daddy, where'd it go? She just said, what? Huh? Right? And it was like flying above her hair, right? It was a totally new creation. What happens before, when it goes from caterpillar to new creation? This is what happens. This is what happens. When a caterpillar is young and growing, it eats a lot. It eats a lot. And the way that it grows, it sheds its skin and then forms new skin. And prior to becoming a new creation, you know, it's the same way with our faith. Growth must occur in our curiosity for the Word of God and learning about His Word. That's the eating part, right? Next, before becoming a new creation and it's eaten enough, the caterpillar begins to rest because it ate so much that it can't even move, okay? What happens there? The caterpillar stops and digests. Prior to becoming a Christ follower, the gospel must be contemplated, meditated, understood, and the good news must be believed in faith, what we talked about earlier. The way a caterpillar rests on a branch is the same way that we need to rest on the promises of God. Because salvation does not come through working, it actually comes through resting in the goodness and the promise of salvation and the gospel. So the caterpillar rests, and as it rests, it slowly begins to form this type of silk around its body as it rests from the branch. And then after that, something happens. 15 days go by, and the caterpillar is no longer a caterpillar, but a butterfly. Now, most people here think this is the end of the story. Nuh-uh, this ain't the end of the story, okay? Let me tell you about what happens after this. Right after they get out, they can actually not fly yet. It takes several hours for a butterfly to stretch out its wings and to strengthen itself and let the blood flow to places it hasn't flowed before. And then it gets to fly. What I see here is that when we, you know, become followers of Christ and the Holy Spirit comes upon us, there's going to be a stretching moment. There's going to be a time where God's going to test your faith. And I encourage you to say, just let Him stretch you. And go back to why you first followed Him, because you rested in the promise of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be like a butterfly. Amen. I want to be like a butterfly. When we become a new creation in Christ, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit and our perspective changes. Our point of view is what? It's lifted. Second point for today is this. Very simple. We hear it all the time. We become ambassadors for Christ. Everybody say ambassadors. Ambassadors. Verse 20 through 21. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin
to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We become the hands and feet of Christ as he is the head. I'm about to say something. I'm about to get real, and it might not rub you the right way, okay? But I felt like God wanted me to say this, so I'm going to say it. Can I say this? Okay. Some of us are willing to go to church, okay? But not many of us are willing to be the church. I'm going to say that one more time. Some of us are willing to go to church, but many of us are not willing to be the church. We are ambassadors of the Most High, guys. Our life may be the only Bible that people actually read. So I'm going to ask you, what are they reading? What are they reading? We need to fight sin. We need to get aggressive. The Bible says, even in our thoughts, take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ, which means we need to tackle those thoughts even, because we are ambassadors of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now living in you. He that is within us is greater than he that is within the world. And you were bought at a price. Our life is no longer our own. So how are you stewarding that? You know, ambassadors are official representatives to a foreign country. They're official representatives. They represent the entire nation, not just a portion of it. Who do we represent? We represent the nation of God. So I want to ask you again, how are you stewarding that? Whenever I bring my team, wherever we go, I look at them in the eye and I say, we got to maximize our influence for the glory of God. We need to fight sin. We need to fight thoughts of destruction. And we need to fight it with an aggressive faith. Amen? I remember when I was really burned out. Has anybody felt like that before? Where, you know, a little nap ain't going to cut it. Actually, 12 hours of sleep ain't going to cut it. You know, when it feels like nighttime when the sun is shining. I remember there was a moment in my life when I saw sin everywhere. It was in my family, in my own life, in my church, and I was just so sick of sin. And I even thought about leaving ministry. I called up my friend because we got to rely on each other. You know, iron sharpens iron, as we were sharing. And I didn't even have to say much. And he just prayed for me. He laid hands on me and just prayed for me and just said, you know, God is still good. God, give him more grace. Give him more mercy. And that one prayer alone brought me back. I'm going to say this to you, a lot of you guys. There could be one person, one prayer away from keeping going, from not stopping. If God prompts on your heart to pray for somebody, you could be the one thing that changes the trajectory of their destiny through the obedience of the Holy Spirit. And I'm happy to say that I'm still here. I may be young, but man, I'm still standing. I'm triple doubling for the gospel now. Okay, I ain't gonna stop. You know, after that moment, I felt like God was urging me to go back to my roots. So what I did was I went back to the place, actually the exact same chair that I gave my life to Christ to, and I sat in it. After that, I did what I would love to do as a child, and I rode my bike. Okay, I rode my bike, and I decided to go downtown and ride my bike some more. And I hopped on the train, the Blue Line. And I was listening to an audiobook, and it's funny because this audiobook was all about being obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit, right? So I sit down, I start hearing about this chapter, and right across from me, I see a man down the train, and I feel nudging on my heart, right? I'm like, God, I just want to rest. I just want to chill right now, right? And it was pretty much like, Jeff, go share the good news with that man. And, you know, I hit pause because I didn't want to listen to that anymore. I stopped it all, okay? And I just decided to sit there, okay? But there was something on my heart that only came from the Holy Spirit.
and was saying, Jeff, just rest in my obedience too. You can even rest in following him. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. So what I did was I moved my bike, and I looked at him. I looked at him, and I was like, how can I speak to this man? How can I open up this conversation? Okay. So I'm looking around. Then I realized that he's a homeless guy, okay? And he's probably been on the train for hours because it was not too warm outside. And I see a book. I see a book on right next to his lap. And I was like, that's the end. That's how I'm going to get in this conversation. And I look around, and I'm ready. God, I'm going to be obedient. Okay, I say, hey, so is that a good book? Right? This man is just chilling here. No response, okay? And I'm like, I ain't gonna give up, okay? I ain't gonna give it that easy. So what I do is, you know, we're the only ones in the section, but there's a lot of people, like, down the train car, okay? So I turn it up a notch. And I get ready. I say, here we go. I say, so, is that a good book? Right? The whole train looks at me. Whole train. Ain't nobody got a book, right? And this man looking down, and he looks up at me, mean mugging me, right? And he goes, it's a great book. It's a great book. So we start talking about this book, and I'm five stops away from getting to my location. So there's a time limit. And I'm just starting to ask him about his life, about, you know, his interests, just to gain a little bit of trust there. And, you know, he starts to tell me about his life, and he tells me that he got lost in the sauce, which means that he pretty much gave in to alcoholism. He told me that he lost his entire family. His daughter never talks to him again. He has no money. He rides the train every day so he can stay warm. And he looked at me, and he was just like, you know what, Jeff? I talk to nobody. You know, it's so nice to have a conversation with somebody. And he looks at me and says, I want to give you something. I was like, okay, what you want to give me? And then he pulls out his black plastic bag and then cracks open a beer, right? And then in the middle of the train, okay? I really want you to have this, okay? And I say, brother, I am grateful, but I'm sure you spent a lot of money on that. You know, you go ahead. Okay, so he drinks it. And then we're talking again. Now we're three stops away. Oh, man, time is ticking. I ain't talking about Jesus yet, okay? Three stops away, he says, hold up, Jeff. I really still want to give you something. I was like, all right, what you want to give me, okay? Pulls out another plastic bag, a little bit of substance in it. Pulls out a little white piece of paper, a little wrapping paper, you know, starts to roll it up a little bit, lick it a little bit, and seal it, right? Like a sleeping bag, okay? And he says, Jeff, I want to give this to you, right? And I'm like, Lord, what do I do, right? And I felt the prompting. Take it and throw it away later, all right? So I said, his name was Jake. I said, Jake, thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much. I'm going to just put this right here, okay? You know, thank you so much. Two stops away. Oh, man, here we go. And I cut him off. I said, Jake, I'm so grateful for you, but I need to ask you. The reason why I'm sitting here is because I felt like God was wanting me to talk to you. And he looked in my eyes, became sober real fast. And I asked him, I said, Jake, man, have you heard of Jesus? And he's like, yeah, I've heard of Jesus. And I was like, Jake, do you know Jesus and what he's done for you? And he said, I know Jesus, and I love Jesus, but I'm so addicted. I'm so addicted, and I can't get over it, right? I'm one stop away now. I'm one stop away. And I look at Jake's face, and I say, Jake, there will be a day when all of this pain is going to be gone. There will be a day when your addictions will no longer overcome your life. And I said, Jake, God loves you. And I can't wait until you see that day. And he looked at me in the eyes and he said, I can't wait for that day to come. I'm on the last stop. The door is open. I say, Jake, be blessed.
you know, never forget about God. I walk out, doors close. I never see him again. I don't know what happened after that, but I have faith to believe that the seed that was planted is going to come to fruition. M4G, you can come on up. You guys can take the stand. I wanted to introduce this verse that the word is going, or that this dance is going to be displayed. You guys can come up right away and set up. So the song is called My Revival, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. Okay, it's inspired from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, I will run and not grow weary. I will walk and not faint. This is the lyrics. I will soar on wings like eagles, find my rest in your everlasting name. You are my revival. Jesus, on you I wait, and I'll lean on your promise, and you will renew my strength. Amen. Let's watch this worship dance, and then we'll close it for today.
I will run and not grow weary. I will walk, I will not faint. I will soar on wings like eagles, find my rest in your everlasting name. Jesus, on you I wait. Now lean on your promise.
Amen. You know, in Christ, I'm going to say it again, there will be a day when all this pain, all this sin will be gone. But until that day, when we come face to face with Christ, we got to fight temptation. We got to fight sin and be a light to this world. Amen? Amen? Earlier I said that Jesus breathed onto the disciples. You know what happens? We breathe in what Christ breathes out. And in the Bible, we see that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. Now, here's the thing. Now, it is still hovering over creation. But now the light of Christ is in our hands. It's in our hearts. And God doesn't want to just, he doesn't want to just do it for us, but he wants to partake in with us in walking through those dark places to show the light of Christ. Amen? Amen. I got three questions for you before we close. First question is this. Will heaven be your destination? It's a very real question that we need to ask ourselves. And if you say yes, I want you to move on to the next question. If you say no, I want you to stay on that. Second question I have for you today is, do you have a kingdom perspective, a heavenly perspective? Do you see that pain and trial is just actually for your good and his glory? And if you say yes, I want you to move on to the next question, last question. But if you say no, I want you to stay on that question. And the third question that I have for you, if you said yes to the first two, is this. Are you okay? Are you okay with people walking around that are on the road to destruction rather than salvation? Because I'm telling you right now, I am not okay with that. And I'm going to do everything and give my whole life, because my life is not my own, for the gospel. So if you said yes to the first two, I want you to ask that question. Are you okay with it? Because I am not okay with it. And I'm looking for other people that are not okay with that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. God, I know that there's some people in here that want to commit the next part of their life to something new that only comes from you. And God, I pray that as we continue on and into our day and into just this month, this year, Lord, I pray that people would truly, truly ask that question to themselves. If you could keep your eyes closed for a moment, every head bowed, except for the leaders, every head bowed, eyes closed. I want to ask you a question that I want you to respond to, okay? You know, God is calling all of us to step into something new with courage and with faith. And if that's you, that you want to either rededicate your walk with Christ or just take your walk with Christ to a new level, I want you to put your hand up in the air for a moment. If that's you, amen, amen. Amen. Hands up all over the place. Amen. Keep your eyes closed. Amen. I want to just pray for you and bless you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these courageous people that are willing to take their faith to a new level and continue to walk in a new creation. Lord, bless this time. Bless this church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you raised your hand and would truly like to have a public declaration of that, I want to invite you down as we close, and I want to have our leaders pray for you as we continue on, and then I'll pass it off to Pastor Doug.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Before we move on any further, I want to go ahead and just ask our ushers if they would come, but if you are responding to what Jeff just presented a moment ago, you can still come on up. But I want to just take some time to receive an offering. even before that, it's like, can we just really give Pastor Jeff and Move for God just a big hand? Amen. Just a powerful ministry and quite prolific. If you know what that means. Anybody know what that means, by the way? I had to look that up for a second, and it actually means to produce much fruit and many offspring. And I don't know why that was the word that the Lord gave to me concerning this group, but I believe that there are many young people whose lives are getting ready to be transformed, not just made better, but transformed. So as our ushers are going through, I'm just going to invite you to just give as generously as you can to this powerful ministry and this man of God. If you're making out a check, you can just make it out to CLC, and we will give them one singular offering at the close of the service. But something in that message, Jeff, really kind of spoke to my own life, that I don't want to just be a faster caterpillar. I don't want to just be a faster caterpillar. I really want my life to be truly transformed and to really be all that God has made it to be. Amen. And so I'm hoping that that is your desire as well. That God, I don't want to just be a faster version of my older self. I want to be a brand new version of you. I want to be a brand new version of you. Amen. So if you're here today, we do thank you for your generosity in giving. And as our ushers are receiving that offering, we do thank you so much. But I do want to turn our attention back to this, the real close of what we're talking about here, about being transformed. Our lives need to be transformed. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of excavating going on in my own life. There's a lot, and I don't know if you know what the word excavate means. I guess we're getting a vocabulary lesson here today, but when you excavate something, you're basically taking out the rubble of what's no longer any good, and you're putting in something that needs to be there. But when you excavate something, you're clearing out some old stuff. Amen. Anybody clearing out some old things that just need to go? And see, when God's excavating you, it can be a hard thing, because it feels like what he's taken out is what your life is defined by. Because that becomes the consumption of your focus. And then you start to realize God saying, no, that's not who you are. That's who you were. And it's only coming to the forefront because I'm wanting to take it out. But if it doesn't come to the forefront, you won't acknowledge it. And the only way that I can get a hold of it is if you give it to me. And so that's the only reason why I'm letting it come to your attention, so that you can get a hold of it. Give it to me and I can take it out. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. So in answer to that question, Jeff, no, man, I'm not okay with people just going in the wrong direction. I'm not okay with it. And I believe we need transformed people of God who are not okay with it, who are not okay just watching people go down a wrong path of destruction. And maybe that's you today. And I'm going to continue that invitation. If that is you this morning, would you just come? I'm going to ask our prayer team to come as well. But we're just going to believe God in this moment, that God, you're not just going to make us faster caterpillars, but you're going to truly transform us, Lord. That you're going to make us more like you. That there's something that you're going to do in our lives that is simply going to help us, Lord God, to become more like you. To be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because we want to see this world change for the better. Amen. So let's stand to our feet, all of us. And as our prayer team is here this morning, if you want to pray, if you want to come and pray with them, we invite you to do so. But if you haven't given your life to the Lord and you weren't able to answer that first question, yes, if you need the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. And our prayer team would be more than happy to pray a prayer with you that will lead you into a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we have that opportunity this morning. Amen. Let's lift our hands today. Lord, we thank you for every person at this altar this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that that many of us have given our lives to you. Many of us have been transformed into a kingdom mindset. But many of us, Lord God, are not okay. We're not okay, Lord, with letting just letting a world be carted off to destruction. And many times we feel stunted by our own fears. Many times we just feel stunted, Lord, by our own concerns, our own self-consciousness. But Lord, transform our minds. Transform us, Lord. Renew our minds, Lord God, to have courage, to be in obedience to you, to be patient. And just as Jeff shared, to wait for that moment, that entry point, Lord, not to let it go, but to wait and see that moment where we can enter in and offer the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Give us hearts, Lord God, that will see the lost. Give us hearts just like you saw the multitude and had compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Lord, give us those same eyes once again. Give us that same heart, Lord, of compassion once again, that we would have a love for the lost, a longing to see them saved, a longing to see their lives transformed and renewed, a longing to see them filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, a longing to see them set free, Lord, from every yoke of bondage and every yoke of sin. We thank you for that today, Lord. We bless you today, Lord. We thank you even for our graduates today, that you bless them in their brand new endeavors. And we believe that this day is only converging with Pentecost, Lord, because we just believe that there's a higher place that you're taking the entire church to. Bless these graduates, Lord, and bless your church, not just CLC, Lord, but your body, the body of Christ today, Lord, to elevate, to arise in you, Lord, that we might be the light of this world, a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. In Jesus' name, and let it all be for your glory, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you guys so much once again for being here. If you're in need of prayer, we do invite you to come. And before you go, just hug a few people, and we will see you next time. God bless you. Happy Pentecost.
We've come to join the song, sung long before our lives, to raise our voice along heaven and earth alike. We've seen your face, your mercy without end, the King who bled and died, a God who sacrificed, be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations. You are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice with heaven singing, worthy, Lord of all. All through this life we lead, and on through eternity, our endless praise we cry, Jesus be glorified, Jesus be glorified, be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand
generations, you are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice in heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all. Be enthroned upon the praises of a thousand generations, you are worthy, Lord of all. And unto you, the slain and risen King, we lift our voice in heaven, singing, worthy, Lord of all. Highest praises, Lord of all. Highest praises, Lord of all. Highest praises, Lord of all. We give you the highest praise. 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 We give you the highest.
Generation to generation, we declare your salvation as we worship. And as we praise, from generation to generation, we declare your salvation. As we worship, and as we praise, from generation to generation, we declare your salvation. As we worship, and as we pray, from generation to generation, we declare your salvation. As we worship, and as we pray, we give you